going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome to Catholic Education Plus. I'm Father Tom Burke. The board of the North Hills Regional Catholic Elementary Schools is now in its fourth year of supporting regionalization. So far, the new educational model is working. Enrollment and tuition has stabilized, academics continue to improve, and students are growing in their faith, making new friends. The North Hills region is made up of 5 elementary schools located in Ross Township, Wexford, Glenshaw, Aspinwall, and Swickley. The primary goal of regionalization is to provide families with access to Catholic elementary schools that are academically excellent, spiritually vibrant, and also financially sustainable. All parishes in the region share in the operation and support of the schools, which are run by principals under the oversight of a regional administrator and business manager. They are governed by a board of clergy and lay leaders who represent all of the parishes. One of the first leaders to get involved back in 2016 was Matt Petnich, who serves as the president of the board of the North Hills Regional Catholic Elementary Schools. Matt, welcome this morning, and thank you for joining us on Catholic Education Plus.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
And I was the former current pastor of St. James in Swickley, which is part of the North Hills Regional School, so I remember very vividly back when it was formed, back in 2016, and it's hard to believe how quickly the 4 years has gone by. Now, Matt, you served on the Finance Council at the former St. Teresa of Avila, part of Our Lady of Mount Carmel Parish, now in the North Hills, and even though the parish strongly supported this school, you saw that the need for regionalization and recommended it to the diocese. Tell us the story of how this all developed.
Certainly, and it wasn't just my thoughts. These were the thoughts of not only the Finance Council of St. Teresa, but also a number of other parishes that now make up the North Hills Regional Catholic Elementary School system. The primary concern was that the parish school model was not going to be sustainable, particularly financially. Enrollments were dropping, expenses were increasing, and the overall burden on the parishes was getting to the point where it was becoming unsustainable financially. And quite honestly, from an educational perspective, as the classrooms got smaller, the opportunities for the children became less, and the staff became less challenged, less collaboration. So there were a group of parishes, a group of financial councils that met with the diocese who was already thinking about regionalization and said, look, we really need to accelerate this process. And our primary objective was to preserve Catholic elementary school education. We realized that once a school closes, you may have a merger, but then the domino effect would eventually lead to no opportunity for Catholic elementary school education in the north. So the diocese agreed to meet with us. We discussed the possibilities. Those meetings primarily took place with the pastors and the diocesan leadership. From there, it was agreed that we would go through the regionalization process. Task force were put together. I was fortunate to work with a task force that included members of the former St. Sebastian Parish to kind of set out the goal and determine what the region was going to look like so that we could not only put something together that was sustainable, but also something that could thrive into the future.
Now, obviously, many parents didn't want their parish school merged. How did you tell them, and how did you work on this?
Yeah, the parish schools are very special to parents, and I guess I had the best possible evidence of that in my wife, because my wife was like, "Wait a minute, what's going on here?" Our three kids all went through the schools, and it is a very special environment. I think the primary message to the parents was that, just as I mentioned, why we went into regionalization in the first place. And although we wanted it to be sustainable, we wanted this educational experience to be available for future generations. And, letting them know that first of all, there would be Catholic schools for their children's children was the goal. And that although the parish schools were going the way, all those special things that exist in Catholic schools was going to be preserved, so that things like eighth graders taking care of kindergarten students was still going to be there, and the accountability that exists within Catholic schools was going to be there, and the participation in the liturgy and the celebration of sacraments was all going to be part of it. And that just because a merger took place didn't mean that identities, individual identities for individual schools couldn't exist. It was a matter of establishing new identities for their school, so that it would be their primary or their little family school, if you will.
Right.
I also told them that it was there was a major advantage to the faculty. There would be much more collaboration. There would be much more opportunity for teachers to explore other options and have colleagues to exchange ideas with and maybe existed in a very small school.
And then St. Teresa of Avila and St. Sebastian's, that became Holy Cross Academy. And then literally down the road, St. Bonaventure, St. Ursula's, and St. Mary's and Glenshaw, they became Blessed Trinity. So you pull your resources together and you build on the traditions of the schools and enhance it, and then you start a new identity. And all four of my nephews went through the former St. Sebastian school, and now they're grown, they're a little bit older now. And it's just obviously, change is difficult, but change can also mean new opportunities, just like the parishes coming together and merging and becoming the family. Now, Matt, you merged the schools back in 2017. What were some of your initial priorities as a board member?
Sure. In addition to the mergers you already mentioned, the other schools that were part of our initial focus was also St. Alphonsus and St. Alexis,
right,
which is now Blessed Francis Silos. So the initial priorities were to get those schools established. So there was the normal just tasks of opening checking accounts, getting teachers assigned, making sure that we had classrooms set up so that, you know, the doors could open as of August or September of that year. So it was very task-oriented, very tactical. However, when we went through the process of regionalizing, there was a good bit of thought given to where schools should be located, what the makeup of the specific school should be in the way of facilities, classroom size, and so forth. So there was a geographic priority given. Then there was also a facilities priority given so that we would best serve geographically the North region. Honestly, the board talked an awful lot about the challenges and some of the things that come up, because parents and teachers and stakeholders of all types had plenty of questions to ask. And our first priority was, let's get the doors open and the kids in school as fast as we possibly can, because we felt like that would begin to solve a lot of the angst, and we'll kind of deal with these things as we go. So getting the doors open was the first priority. Getting the kids where they belonged and getting the teachers assigned was really the initial priority of the board.
Mm-hmm. And I was my first assignment was the former St. Alphonsus in Wexford, and now that's part of St. Aidan Parish with St. Alexis, and they share the school, Blessed Transcecilius. They're literally 2 miles apart, right down Route 19. So it's
that's right.
It's working together. Now, you said the regional model is working in the North Hills with support from the teachers, the parents, and the clergy. What are some of the key changes from the old parish model?
So the key changes, I think, are the fact that the pastor isn't necessarily the administrator for the school. They aren't. So we have a governing body, which is made up of the board members. That's a step change in that, the board has to take on the responsibilities of planning and goal setting and all the things that kind of go into running an organization. The other significant change, I think, is that is a very positive one, and that is this idea of collaboration. So we are a larger organization. So instead of a school being standalone and principals being on their own and teachers trying to figure out what's happening, there's a larger organization where thoughts and ideas from others can come together more quickly, and we can make good decisions about how we improve the product, if you will, as we move forward. It also gives us plenty of opportunities to deal with challenges like the pandemic. There have been some definite opportunities that have, or definite positives that have come out of that because we were a larger organization with better connectivity. Some of the key stakeholders are still the same with the parish models. We don't want any school to feel like they're going to be a clone of the next school, but we have visions and missions that are going to be consistent throughout each of the schools.
Yeah, and it's always a work in progress with it. And being a pastor, and I have three schools here in the East Region, St. Bede and Point Breeze, Sister Thea Bowman Catholic Academy in Wilkinsburg, and also St. Benedict the Moor in the Hill District. As a pastor, even though I don't directly oversee any of my three schools, I still have full access to the buildings, walk the halls, we say mass, but the principal talks to the regional director, and it does help the pastors out from a pastor perspective now that we've merged our parishes and grown. And it's nice to have board members to be invested in at parishioners that are part of these parishes that have a vested interest in their school and they have a say. So we have lots more to talk about, so we'll take a break. You're listening to Catholic Education Plus on KDK Radio. Welcome back to Catholic Education Plus. I'm Father Tom Burke, the pastor of St. Mary Magdalene Parish, serving the communities of the East End, Point Breeze, Homewood, and Wilkinsburg sections of the city of Pittsburgh, and also the pastor of St. Benedict the Moor Parish in the Hill District. And this Sunday morning, we are focusing on the North Hills Regional Catholic Elementary Schools, and with me is Mr. Matt Putnich, who is the president of the Board of Directors for the North Hills Regional Catholic Elementary Schools. Now, Matt, you are a product of Catholic education starting back in the first grade all the way through college, and your children also went to Catholic schools. What are some of the benefits from a Catholic education?
Wow, that's a heavy question. I think the biggest benefit is that faith is the center of the school life. So every aspect of the school life can be centered around that relationship with Jesus and relationship with God. So, my grandmother told me very early on that every cloud has a silver lining. And that was her way of expressing faith that, things are going to be fine. And I also had an experience in high school where a provincial told me, when the days are bad, you can blame God, but when the days are good, you better be sure to thank him for it as well. And I think those things exist on a regular basis within the Catholic schools, or at least we want them to. I think there's also a sense of community, or a sense of responsibility for others that is built into Catholic schools. I think you learn very early on that it's not all about you, and that it's a circumstance where we have to do what's right for our school community, our parish community, and our community at large. Of course, that we can't dismiss the fact that the Catholic schools follow along with the liturgical calendar, so they have a stronger understanding, or should have a stronger understanding, of what's actually happening in the Catholic Church. And then the sacramental benefits, they become part of the daily and weekly activities that go on. So all those things kind of build, enhance the faith. They build a strong foundation for people to look to live a life of service, to understand that there's a greater goal that we are trying to attain here, and that there's a level of accountability for all of us in our communities.
Now, last month, the board of the North Hills Regional Catholic Elementary Schools, they sent a letter to the parents and other stakeholders, and you wrote about the key initiatives such as Catholic identity, which is so important. What makes our schools Catholic and also worth supporting? Because that's huge.
Yeah, I mentioned that. I mentioned that a bit earlier in my earlier answer, and the Catholic identity is really around faith and hope. It's around the fact that Scripture becomes something from which we learn, but it also becomes part of the tradition. So it's a way for us to kind of go back and reflect on that on a regular basis. There's the day-to-day aspects of it, so respect for each other, respect for human life. I think there's a sense of being part of something bigger that emanates from as being a benefit from a Catholic education, that you're not alone. And of course the celebration of the sacraments, all of which are you know, very important for us in terms of being strong, faithful people.
Yeah. Now, you also said in that letter that the financial impact of COVID on our parishes has been substantial, but the commitments from our parishes encouraging. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so I think everybody understands that offertory is something that has been reduced recently because our inability to attend Mass as we had before. I think the COVID has also affected people's incomes, or at least their feeling of security in that income, which again affects the offertory. I think in times like that, or times like we're living in now, it may be easy to kind of not support things that maybe you support in the past. You become more insular. But that really hasn't been the case regarding the support of the parishes and the pastors to Catholic education. A big part of our our income is the subsidies that we do receive from the schools from the parishes and the parish communities. And the parishes within our region have continued to make Catholic education, Catholic elementary education, a priority, which has enabled us to plan and move forward more confidently.
Yeah, we're all in this together. And obviously, as a pastor, I've seen my offertory collections been reduced significantly because we went from 6 masses to 3 masses, and obviously, you know, people are laid off, trying to pay the bills, the rent, the mortgage, school tuition, you know, everybody, we're all in this together, and it's just, you just have to keep plugging along, and not only are the parishes affected, but also the schools and the parents too. So, but hey, we try to do our best and work with what we have and get through this together as a great family.
Yeah. And the schools,
now, you want to be more strategic in engaging the community in our schools. How do you go about doing that?
This has a lot to do with communication with our parish communities as well as the communities at large. First of all, I think a lot of times when you talk about Catholic education, there are two things that come up. One is that it has to do with finances. So you end up being in a situation where maybe the only communication you have with people outside of the school is, hey, can you give us some money? All right. So either via fundraiser or some type of planned giving or things along those lines. And that's certainly important, and we certainly need to keep the doors open. But I think that we also have a responsibility to reach out to the community in ways in which we can help the community. And that's part of our mission as a region. It's part of our mission as a Catholic school, is to help those that need our help, participate in things that are going to make the community better, because we not only have a responsibility to our citizens, but we have a responsibility to our Christian and Catholic community to help wherever we can. So strategically, what we're trying to do is communicate better as to not only the success of the schools in the way of academics and extracurricular activities, but also the things that the children and the staff are doing to help the community be better. If we can get to a point where the community says, hey, look, whether I decide to send my kids to a Catholic school or not is immaterial. I want the community, or we'd like the community to think, like, our community is better because that school exists. And we want that school to be here for the long haul. So strategically, we're trying to find ways to do a better job of communicating, do a better job of participating, a better job of being part of the entire community, and do that in a way that's humbling and thankful for the gifts that they give back to us.
Yeah. All right. One last question. We only have a minute left. And I know that the North Hills region has been a great beneficial to the other regions, the Pittsburgh East, along with the city region, which includes the Extra Mile Foundation schools, and then now the new South region has been organized, and the North Hills has been very beneficial in helping. For parents in the North Hills who may be interested in Catholic education, how can they reach your office and the schools?
Well, certainly the website address is www.nhrces.org, and our telephone number is 412-837-1056.
Good. So check out the website, and also the five different schools in the region, in Wexford, Glenshaw, Aspinwall, and Swickley. It's great to check them out, especially for next school year. Mr. Matt Putnich, the Board of Directors, President for the North Hills Regional Schools, thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Father.
We'll be back in a moment. This week in our Plus segment, we are featuring the Feast of Christ the King. This is the final week of the liturgical season. This feast day is celebrated on the last Sunday of our church year, before we start the season of Advent, which is amazingly next weekend. And on this last Sunday, the church turns its attention to a time of life when we experience it on this earth, when it ends and the eternal life begins. This gospel parable follows the wise man and the foolish bridesmaids. And also last week we heard the parable of the talents. And this concludes Jesus' discourse about the end of time. St. Paul reminds us that the end of time, Christ will triumph over all of evil. And Christ our King gave himself totally while he lived on this earth. And do we recognize one another in the face of Christ? Do we see Christ in those that we encounter? And the more that we live through the Spirit of Christ, the more God lives in us. So as we celebrate this Feast of Christ the King today, let us look at Christ in all around us, in all that we say and what we do.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space: Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and, like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.